Blog Talk Radio.
All right, folks, this is Rebel Rouse and Rich Bergeron.
Yo, it is the icon, the man, the number one guy in this business. I don't know how I can stretch it out any longer. It's the Tornado, Tony Pendicount.
And we apologize for our little technical difficulties to start the broadcast.
I did tell you, Rich, I hate that woman that does the voiceover on Blog Talk Radio, but she sounds like a British nanny with a bad attitude.
Pretty much. Anyway, we're getting a late start, but we have two guests tonight, so it's going to be a pretty action-packed show. We have Justin Buchholz, even though I didn't get to check in with him and make sure that he's definitely going to be on at 8:30. We're supposed to have him on at 8:30. And then his opponent on February 16th for Superior Cage Combat, John Gunderson, is coming on at 9:30. It's Eastern Standard there, folks. But, of course, we have plenty more to talk about. We have UFC on Fox 2 coming up this weekend on the 28th here, which is Saturday night. Rashad Evans versus Phil Davis, the main event there. Of course, we have Tony's big boxing report from Philadelphia. And I did get your posting up there, but I didn't get a chance to edit it yet and throw the pictures up on there. That's what really slowed me down.
That's right. You like the pictures.
Yes, good shots. One complaint, though, they need to be cropped and resized next time because that really screwed me up. I spent like an hour just getting half of the pictures downloaded.
I've taken, you know, a lot of photos and never had an issue, sent them all. You know, I've sent like I sent an email out a couple weeks ago, and I put like 30-some photos in there. No problem. Only thing I'm potentially thinking could have happened, I don't know how or why this would have happened, and I got my camera up here, I'm going to look at it now, was when I put my new batteries in, which I change batteries all the time, and maybe reverted back to 12 megapixels, where I had it set at 6 now.
Probably,
12 was too damn big. So
it's
put it back
1,300 and something pixels wide, every picture. And I usually use editing software to crop it right to where the action is, you know, get the rest of the ring out, and then resize it if it's too big, but I can do it after
that. The same as 6 megapixels, which is normal. Let me just look at the file that I sent to you the other day, or the file where
I already got it halfway done, so it'll be up by later tonight, but in the future, try to make them 650 pixels wide, if you know how to do that in the software, the editing software, because that's the maximum that we can put in the blog centered, you know, 650 pixels. That goes for everybody else out there listening who wants to send us press releases too. Anyway, how was the show, by the way? For those who didn't read about it yet. How was the show, by the way?
Rich, I'll tell you right now, here's an indication on how the show was. The show was Saturday night. There was a storm in Philadelphia Friday night going into Saturday. The roads by fight time had improved. The snow stopped, mid-morning, right by noontime, the snow was out. But still some icy conditions, and, you know, it wasn't ideal traveling conditions just because of the ice and the bitter cold. It was so packed there that you could barely move, standing room only, and the crowd was so enthusiastic that especially during the Gabriel Rosado fight, because he had a lot of friends and family there, that it was so loud that I actually had a headache till Monday. That's good. I was joking around with a friend of mine Monday morning. I was talking to him, and I was like, dude, I said, totally worth it. I said, the headache I got right now, feels like I got a hangover. I didn't drink, so I know I didn't have a hangover. But I said, you know, that was a small price to pay. You're seeing boxing as alive and well as it really is. I hope people watch the show. The fights were good. The Rosado fight was, it was one-sided, and we really gave Soto Karas a pretty good shellacking out there. But what was exciting about it was because he was such a hometown favorite, and because there was the drama with Soto Karas having such a good chin last year when he fought Mike Jones for the first time, and Jones hit him with everything, including the kitchen sink, and couldn't drop him. Jones, in a way, punched himself out, and then he really struggled over the second half of the fight. And there was that, you know, oh, my God, is this going to happen to Rosado now? Because he was hitting him with, I mean, everything. And then, but he did finally take him out. The heavyweight fight was entertaining. You know, Maurice Byram, he came out there, he came out with a hit of steam, and he was taking it to Brian Jennings. But Jennings was the crisper guy. He was, like, when Byram would land a punch, you'd hear, like, thud. It almost sounded like someone taking a plank and hitting it, you know, against, you know, water. And when Jennings was landing his punches, they were more snappy, they were crisper, and it was sending more sweat flying. But it was a back-and-forth fight. Jennings pulled it out. He what won the fight for him was he swept rounds 6 through 8. It was really close, and he won, like, you know, 3 rounds in a row, pulled him ahead, and that's what ultimately won him the decision. I had it scored the same as 2 of the judges did. There was a couple fights in the undercard. You know, nothing spectacular. The only fight that really a disappointment was the other fight that unfortunately was televised, a Cuban fighter by the name of Sullivan Barrera, who's coming to the States with some high hopes. He was there with Urieta Sambela, who's one of the best fighters in the world. And Barrera, he didn't shine. I mean, he won every round. The fighter he was in against, you know, just did not want to engage him, a guy by the name of Damar Singleton. Singleton just did not want to engage, and he was content to clinch, but it was the type of guy that Barrera should have broken through and then broken down and knocked out. What was kind of funny about it was after the show was over, you know, my dad and I were walking back to the car. We walked and we were going by Tony Luke's cheesesteak shop, one of the most famous cheesesteak places in the city. And we stopped in there. We were actually talking to one of the fight's judges from that night. We stood and talked to him for an hour. We look, and there is this Damar Singleton from Toledo, Ohio, who just lost his first fight. And you could just tell he was out of his element. When you go to one of the most famous cheesesteak and roast pork sandwich stands in the country and tried to order a wrap. Look at him like, are you kidding me? Said, get a cheesesteak, dude. Get Philadelphia.
Cool.
But no, it was a great card. There was a lot of cool people there. The one guy that I regret not getting the chance to talk to him and meet, a guy that I met about 10 years ago, because we were training at the same gym together. We didn't spar, but we were training at the Marian Anderson Rec Center. Was a guy featured in a link you sent me a few weeks ago by the name of Smokin' Burt Cooper. Smokin' Burt Cooper was the first guy to knock down Evander Holyfield, went the distance in a war with Ray Mercer, has had fights with Riddick Bowe, George Foreman, and countless other guys. And I went down, the first fight my dad took me to when I was a teenager was Michael Moore, Burt Cooper, the 1992 Fight of the Year in Atlantic City. And I've gone to probably since then 100 fight cards. But I wanted to say to Burt Cooper, you know, no matter what, no matter all the fight cards I go to, Dottie Ward, big fights in Atlantic City, I want to go to a fight out in Vegas, little small shows in like Philadelphia Armory. Burt Cooper is always going to be the first main event that I saw. And like I said, I talked to him about 10, 12 years ago down at Marian Anderson Rec Center, but I wanted to go talk to him again when we say hi, but he kind of he walked by, and I was actually, when he was walking by talking to people, I was covering a fight. And then by the time the fight was over, he had already walked away.
You didn't bring a 40.
Did not bring a 40.
Oh.
I also met a gentleman down there by the name of Dave Price, who I still want to get on our show. Dave and I trained together back in 1995, and that invention that's out now, the Cove Glove, where instead of using tape over the wrist of a glove, it's almost like a cover, but when it gets wet, it actually seals. So there's no loose tape or anything like that. And then Dave invented that. And I still talk to him, and the one thing, every time I see him, he always calls me the hardest body puncher he's ever been there with. And then when I was talking to him, a gentleman by the name of Danny Davis came over. Danny Davis was working the corner of the new Ray Robinson, as he's called. And, I got to meet Danny. Danny also worked a lot with Bernard Hopkins. B-Hop, who we all know, is now going to fight Chad Dawson in a rematch, Atlantic City, April 28th. And when B-Hop was doing those monthly tutorials in Ring Magazine, where he was showing proper boxing technique on how to throw punches, how to slip punches, how to train the right way, Danny Davis was always the trainer that was doing the pictorials with him. So I got to meet him, and I got to meet Freddie Roach, as you saw, got my picture with him, and that was pretty cool. And overall, it was a great time, and hopefully NBC realized the tremendous atmosphere that was down there, and keeps us going.
Content created. So that's good for us, and good for you that you get to go out and enjoy a night at the fights for free. I don't know if you had as good a night, as bad a night, though, as Chuck Ciampa. Did you hear about his debut on Showbox Friday night?
You know what? Yeah, I did. I saw that on Friday night. I didn't see the main event. I had fallen asleep by that time. But I saw when I had Chuck Ciampa on, he was going to tell about how to do scoring, and he was tripping all over himself.
Yeah, here
he
it
said,
is. This is the video.
He's a great judge, but unlike Harold Letterman, who was so comfortable being in front of the camera now, because he's been doing it for so long. And don't get me wrong, it might have been the first time, a little bit of jitters. Never done this before. Obviously, you're going to be nervous the first time. But In time, Chuck could be a great, on-screen personality. But he definitely was tripping all over himself Friday night.
Yeah, here's the clip. On our broadcast team tonight, a man who had a long and distinguished career as a ring judge, over 3,000 fights judge, 132 of those were world championship matches. And Chuck Ciampa will join us tonight to give us special insights. And Chuck, tell our viewers a little bit of what you're going to be doing on this broadcast tonight.
Thank you, Al. Tonight I will be taking you inside the mind. Tonight I'll be taking you inside the mind of a judge.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Chuck will be joining us tonight to add his insights on the judging, and we're going to be talking a little bit more about that later.
Great job there by Al, our old buddy.
Al's a consummate professional, and I think he could tell that Chuck was out there drowning a little bit. So Al,
he clutched for the car.
He's still, a life jacket.
Yeah, that was funny. What can you do? Well, it didn't go so well for him, but next time maybe he'll be better. And, bottom line is it gets some free publicity. It's actually on a website called, awfulannouncing.com. And so they got a YouTube video up of it that has about 25,000 hits already. Just a few days' time. Uh-oh. Hello. Are you there?
Hey. I'm here. Are you okay?
Yeah. My computer is
okay.
Going on the fritz here for a second. So.
Yeah, I mean, I heard everything you said.
All right, so we're going to get Justin Buchholz on here in a few minutes, but I did want to go over the UFC on Fox 2 card. If my computer decides to wake up anytime soon, I will do that. I also interviewed a undefeated fighter a couple nights ago, actually last night, named Juan the Beast Rodriguez, one of Yano's buddies, I think. No, it was, where did I get Juan? No, he's one of the fight lawyer, Danny Saratelli's buddies. He's a Kia boxing guy in New Jersey. And I have about a 10-minute interview with him that I'm going to play a little bit later if we get a chance as well. And Chuck Ciampa screwed me up. In addition to so I played the Chuck Ciampa clip, and now my computer is frozen. He got revenge.
Hey, Chuck's getting you back now.
I guess so.
No.
I don't have the information in front of me, obviously, but there was also another fight with a guy named Rigondo over the weekend that I've been reading a lot about.
I missed that fight. I had fallen asleep by that time. My dad was telling me about it. In front of, I think it was by the name of Rico Ramos or something along those lines, who was the defending champion. And my dad said, come into the ring, he said the guy just looked so out of his element. He was, like, staring into space like he was, like, in awe of the moment. And like I said, I had already fallen asleep. My dad was like, he is going to get wiped out. And six rounds later, there he was. Wiped out.
All right, well, we're going to see if we can get Justin on. Since Skype is the only thing that seems to be working. All right. See if this works.
Please leave your message for 808-636-5771.
Hey, Justin, this is Rabble
Rouse
from Fight News Unlimited. Just trying to get in touch with you to do the interview tonight here. We have about another hour before we have another interview scheduled, so we'll try you back in about 10 minutes. See if we can get you on the show tonight. And hopefully we can get the interview done. And we'll try back later. Thanks. Bye. So, I guess Justin is not hanging in there waiting for us at this point. I left him a message earlier, but I did get, I did look at weeks ago to do this interview, so you can understand why you guys wouldn't be ready, because hey folks, we're back. Sorry about the delay there. We're dealing with another big snowstorm up here in New Hampshire, so it happens.
Yo.
Hello.
Hey.
We're back.
You clear up the difficulties?
If it wasn't for technical difficulties, we wouldn't have any difficulties at all.
That's right.
All right. Well, since we got a little bit of time here, and I'm still trying to figure out what's going on with my computer, I am going to play this interview with Juan the Beast Rodriguez, and we'll try Justin again. And if we don't get him, we'll just we'll figure something out until we have John Gunderson ready to go at 9:30. So without further ado, here's our little 10-minute interview here. Hold on. Started a little late.
Now, what got you into boxing in the first place?
Yeah.
do.
All right, we're back again. Hopefully this is where we left off here. Juan the Beast Rodriguez, if you want to read the whole interview, or most of the interview, I should say, you can go to ropeadoperadio.com. It's all posted there. But, let's give Justin Buchholz another shot before we move on here, and then see what we get after that.
Please leave your message for 80863.
All right, well, it looks like we got shut out. We got stood up, I should say. So, what can we do? We got UFC on Fox 2 to discuss, I guess. We'll either have to have Justin on another time or not at all. We'll say, too bad, buddy. Missed it. You missed your shot to be famous. We'll have his opponent on, and then he can have all the smack talk time.
Yeah.
Later. Anyway, UFC on Fox 2, the fight card surrounding the main event there with Rashad Evans and Phil Davis at light heavyweight. So we're going to have Chael Sonnen fighting Michael Bisping in a battle of the big mouth guys for it. And actually, it's kind of funny. Chael Sonnen hasn't really tried to badmouth Michael Bisping yet. But Bisping will badmouth anybody, so he's finding Sonnen to be an easy target in the pre-fight hype. And we also have Demian Maia fighting Chris Weidman. Evan Dunham versus Nick Lentz. John Olav Einemo versus Mike Russo. Joey Beltran versus LaVar Johnson. We have Cub Swanson versus George Roop. Eric Wisely versus Charles Oliveira. Michael Johnson from the Ultimate Fighter there versus Shane Roller. And finally, Dustin Jacoby fighting Chris Camozzi. That's about it there for that fight there. Let's see what we got on BoxRec over here. I know tonight there's another story on RopeAdopeRadio.com. Tonight down there in Maryland, they're having a big show between the Naval Academy guys and local Maryland folks. So I thought that was kind of interesting. I did an interview with the promoter of that. Yeah. And it should be a good little boxing show for amateurs. And it's kind of interesting to hear about, you know, what they're doing, how they're staying in the running as one of the best boxing teams in the country every year, year after year. And Coach Jim McNally down there has been there for over 25 years now.
He had been there for a couple of years before I got to Las Vegas, and that was 1994. So I'll see Jimmy in about a month. No, less than that, probably about 3 weeks at the Lock Haven home show. So I'm working out pretty good right now because I figure I want to lose at least 100 of the 700 I need to lose before the Lock Haven show just to look good.
You're going to lose 700 pounds?
Sweet.
That's a lot of pounds. Anyway, tomorrow night, ESPN2, we have a pretty interesting card. Welterweights and lightweights for the co-main events here. Welterweights, Ruslan Provodnikov, who is 20-1 with 13 knockouts, is fighting David Torres, who is 21-2-2 with 13 knockouts. And no title on the line there, but on ESPN2 tomorrow night. Lightweights, Ji-Hoon Kim, 22-7 with 18 knockouts. And Yakubu Amidu, 20-2 with 1 draw, 18 knockouts, will be the co-main event there. And then we have an 8-round heavyweight bout between Rafael Zambrano Love, who's 31-4 with 1 draw, 24 knockouts, fighting Shane Andreessen, who's 11-3 with 7 knockouts. So that looks to be a pretty interesting card coming to you from the Northern Quest Casino in Airway Heights, Washington. And on Saturday over in Belgium, looks like we have sort of a mismatch of the week. Light middleweights main events, Jackson Osei Bonsu, who's 38-5 with 27 knockouts, is fighting Zoran Civic, who is 7-16-3. It's rough. Civic's going to have to pull off a big upset to win that fight. Let's see what other big fights we got. Come on. The WBO European middleweight title is on the line in Hamburg, Germany this Saturday. Rafael Bajaran, who is 13-1 with 6 knockouts, is going to fight Daniel Urbanski, who's 21-7 with 3 draws and 5 knockouts. And that's for title. Also on that card, we got couple good cruiserweight fights. One for the WBC Baltic cruiserweight title between Rakim Chakiev, who's 11-0 with 9 knockouts, and Alexander Kotlubay, who's 21-2-1 with 15 knockouts. Also on that card is Ferhat Arslan, also cruiserweight. He's 31-5-1 with 20 knockouts, fighting Orlando Antonio Farias, who's 23-10. 12 knockouts. And there's a whole bunch of other. Oh, here's a mismatch of the week. It's even worse. It's a female fight, 8x2. Ina Menzer, who's 27-1 with 10 KOs as a featherweight female fighter here, fighting Milena Koleva, who's 3-3-1. Rough there. And actually, there's a heavyweight fight on there, too. Ruslan Chagaev is back. Barney Rubble.
Yeah.
Fighting. He's 27-2-1 with 17 knockouts. He's fighting Kurtson Manswell, who's 22-3. And here's a light heavyweight fight with a pretty big name on it, too. There's a lot of big names on this card for European guys. Light heavyweight 8-rounder. Between Jürgen Brammer, 36-2, 29 knockouts, fighting Jose Maria Guerrero, who's 29-2-1 with 11 knockouts. Also undefeated Denis Boytsov at heavyweights, fighting an 8-rounder. He's 29-0 with 24 knockouts, fighting Darnell Wilson. The ding-a-ling man, right?
Yeah.
He's going all the way over to Hamburg, Germany, to have Denis Boytsov make hamburger out of him. He's Wilson is 24-13-3 with 20 knockouts. Good luck there, buddy. Well, that's a really packed card for European talent there. It's going to be on Germany Sport 1 to have satellite TV or know how to access that by internet. You can watch that card. What else we have? We have the WBC silver lightweight title on the line in Chihuahua, Mexico. I got Alejandro Sanabria at lightweight. He's 30 wins, 1 loss, 1 draw, and 23 knockouts. He's fighting Junriel Romanal, who is 12-4-1 with 6 knockouts. Also on the card and fighting for the vacant WBC International Middleweight title and the WBC FECOM Box Middleweight title. You got Marcos Reyes, 22-1 with 20 knockouts, fighting Isaac Mendez, who's 11-3 with 9 knockouts. And a lot of titles on the line on Saturday in Auckland, New Zealand. We have a couple of heavyweight fights here. Pretty good names. Chauncey Welliver, who is 51-5-5, has 19 knockouts at heavyweight. He's fighting Moyoyo Mensa, who is 21-8-1. This is for the interim WBO Asia Pacific heavyweight title, but that's not it. It's also for the New Zealand National Boxing Federation heavyweight title, and the vacant WBC Asian Boxing Council heavyweight title, which would be kind of funny if Chauncey wins. Also on that card, heavyweights, Billy Wright, 35-4-0 with 26 knockouts, fighting for the interim PABA heavyweight title against none other than Harry Funmaker, who is 19 and 17. He only has 6 knockouts to his credit. And we got a fight in the Philippines on Saturday for the WBO Intercontinental Flyweight title. We got Milan Molindo, 25-0, 9 knockouts, fighting Juan Esquer, who's 27-9-2, with 21 knockouts. And the 10-rounder, doesn't tell you the division, but 10-round fight between Lorenzo Villanueva, who's 21-0 with 20 knockouts, fighting Diego Ledesma, who's 18-4-2 with 12 knockouts. That's over in Cebu, Philippines. I think that does it. We might have one more. Let's see. We got Snooki Boxing, I forgot to mention.
I did see where one of my friends had posted something about that.
And we actually have the card kind of filling out here. Paul Hyland is still looking for an opponent, I guess. 2 days before the fight, he doesn't know who he's going to fight. That's tough. That's just a 6-rounder bantamweight fight. He's 20-2 with 6 knockouts to his credit, fighting TBA. He's the only guy on there fighting TBA at this point. And the two co-main event fights are Patrick Hyland versus Emmanuel Lucero and Derek Rossi versus Levine Castillo. The featherweights are Patrick Hyland, 24-0, with 11 knockouts, and Emmanuel Lucero, who's 26-8 with 14 knockouts, 1 draw. Heavyweights, Derek Rossi, 25-5 with 14 knockouts. Levine Castillo is 16-10 with 10 knockouts. Joey DeWaitco is 6-0, fighting Alvaro Morales, who's 6-10-6 heavyweight in a 6-rounder.
I've met him down in Philadelphia.
Who, Alvaro or Joey?
DeWaitco. Joey.
We got another Hyland, Eddie Hyland, 16-1 with 6 knockouts, fighting Franklin Gonzalez, 14-9 with 10 knockouts. And then that's it for the big fights. But that's at Atlantic City, New Jersey on Saturday, and it's the Snooki Boxing Team, which is ironically all Irish guys. For a girl who loves her Guidos. Here's a fight card in freaking Philadelphia on Saturday. At the First District Plaza, Gerald Nobles is fighting a 6-round heavyweight fight. He's 26-1 with 21 knockouts, fighting Marlon Hayes, who's 23-10 with 11 knockouts. And then we have super middleweight Dafir Smith, 24-22-7 with 4 knockouts, fighting Marcos Primera, 20-25 with 13 knockouts and 2 draws. It's rarely do you see guys with records like that fighting each other.
That's
pretty interesting.
Do you want my Rain Man ability to come in here?
Sure. Why not?
Well, it's in Philadelphia, so obviously I'm going to have some connections here. We have Dafir Smith. I've covered him. He's a lot better than his record indicates. He'll take fights on the road. I mean, he'll go there and he'll fight anybody, anytime, any place. Excuse me. Now, Marcos Primera, he fought, and I'm not even going to look this up. Did he fight Willie the Gladiator Gibbs? I'm trying to remember. I know he fought some top-ranked guys. And, you know, he's another tough, tough guy. So that ought to be entertaining. You know, neither guy is a world beater, but they're both going to bring it, you know, they're both going to bring it to the table. Now your main event. This cannot be the same Marlon Hayes I'm thinking of. Because there was a Marlon Hayes out of, I think he was more out of Jersey or Delaware that I cover. Now, let me rephrase it. I did not cover him. This was long before I even heard of Fight News Unlimited, because I was watching him fight at the Blue Horizon when you and I were still about to fight each other. So I'm not sure if it's the same Marlon Hayes. But Gerald Nobles, I know, and I know very well. Gerald Jedi Nobles, his only loss was to Nikolai Valuev by disqualification over in Germany in a fight where a lot of people thought, you know, he was taken at the Valuev. And from what I've seen on the YouTube clips, I kind of agree. Gerald, his problem has been in activity. He hasn't fought in like some like 5 years. He's had his weight balloon up. But I mean, I trained with Gerald. I mean, the guy's got talent when he's focused. I've sparred with him, and I know how freaking strong he is out there. You know, the guy who worked out with 20-inch gloves on and still throw, you know, 70, 80 punches around him.
Well, to Marlon Hayes...
I'm going to end up there.
Marlon Hayes is definitely the same guy you're thinking of. He fought way back in the day, 98. His last fight was against Vadim Tokarev in 2007. October of 2007, and that was in Russia. He lost by TKO in round three. And he had, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4 straight unanimous decision losses before that to a couple guys. One guy, Adonis Stevenson, 8-0. Charles Cavalli, 15 before that. 29 time. Adon Cudring 14-1 at the time, and then his last win was back in January of 2007 when he beat William Guthrie at 186 down in Florida. Then he had 3 straight losses for that to Danny Santiago, Elvir Mariki, and Barry Butler. and Butler KO'd him. The other two were unanimous decision losses. Before that, his last win was Robert Muhammad, who was 8-35 back in 2006. You talk about it's like the worst record. And we're back again from technical difficulties. We are in the middle of another snowstorm this week. And it's been tough to stay in the broadcast tonight. Now let's get Tony back, and we have our guest, John Gunderson, coming on here shortly.
Man, you're really having trouble tonight, aren't you?
Yeah. We got another snowstorm up here. It's probably there. Oh.
Well, can you go back to Vegas?
I know, right? Hector Camacho Jr. is fighting in Guyana next Wednesday.
Really? He'll do anything now, won't he?
I guess so. 53-4 with 28 knockouts, 1 draw. He's fighting Andrew Lewis in the main event.
Oh, Andrew just said Lewis. He's another guy that'll do anything right now.
He's 23-4-2 with 20 knockouts there. We got a couple other fights. I don't know how much you heard before we cut out there, but I was saying Marlon Hayes was that guy that you were thinking of.
Yeah. I remember going on the Blue Horizon watching him back in like 1998.
Mm-hmm. And he last fought in 2007. We have a fight at the Turning Stone Resort and Casino in Verona, New York this Saturday. It's going to be on GoFightLive.tv. Heavyweight. Brian Minto versus Tony Grano. Minto is 35-4 with 22 knockouts. Grano is 18-2 with 14 knockouts, one draw. And we have eight-rounder heavyweights. Eric Fields, 19-1 with 15 knockouts. And Derek Brown, who's 13-6-3 with 11 knockouts. And I think we had one more card I wanted to mention. Corey Spinks is fighting Sessue Powell in Springfield, Missouri on Saturday. It's the BJ Flores Danger Boy Promotions card. Don King Productions is also co-promoting with Tom Morris FM Promotions. Spinks is 38-6 with 11 knockouts. Powell is 26-3 with 15 knockouts. They're fighting at light middleweight. Also have cruiserweights BJ Flores, 26-1-1 with 16 knockouts, and Hugo is 39-5-1 with 28 knockouts. And that's about it for the boxing. We're going to see if we can get John Gunderson on so we can salvage one guest opportunity here on the night. The technical difficulty filled night here. John Gunderson. All right. It'll be at least one side of this up on February 16th. This is supposed to be sparring. So. Hello, John.
Yep.
Hey, this is Rabble Rousing Rich Bergeron. How's it going?
Good, how are you?
Good. Have a
tour. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Perfect. Good deal.
So how's your sparring?
Just getting done working out. Good. Real good.
Yeah?
Real good. We had a good group of guys in today, so it was awesome.
Cool. Well, we were actually supposed to have your opponent on earlier, but he ducked our interview, so... we didn't get him, but what do you know about him?
Probably getting his haircut.
Yeah, maybe. But what do you know about him, and what are you looking forward to as far as the fight goes?
You know, I actually cornered against him in one of his fights here. He fought my teammate and pretty good friend, Steve Lopez, so that's how I know him. And I've seen him fight a few times. I actually fought two of my teammates, Mac Danzig and Steve Lopez, so he's a tough kid. You know, young, he's athletic, he comes from a real great team, and he's got great cardio. So, I mean, anyone that comes from my team is going to have good cardio and be trained. But those guys all take care. If you fight someone from Team Alpha Male, you better be ready to fight. And I'm going to be.
And what do you
think? Now, I know some fighters that I've interviewed in the past, and it's from two trains of thought. Now, as a fighter, I always like to have some videos and some scouting and some knowledge on my opponents. Other guys say that they never watch a film of them. They just go out there and do what they do and adapt. How do you feel having some scouting on him is going to benefit you?
Yeah, I think it benefits me a little bit. I've watched I've watched his last four fights, so I've got, and now I see that everyone's going to have little things that they constantly go back to and they fall back to when the going gets tough, and this just comes natural, right? Your body just goes and to autopilot, so, you know, I got a little tendencies that he does, but I'm more focused on what I need to do to win the fight than what he needs to do, and I've done that in the past where it's where it can be in offensive mode to fight this guy, especially five rounds. I've got to, I've got to finish this guy. I can't let this go five rounds. He'll out-cardio me to death.
Now, you obviously have a lot of experience in the sport. I'm seeing your record here is 32-12-2. Is that correct?
Yep.
Awesome. How did you first get involved in the sport?
You know, I started out boxing when I was young, and then I moved to Florida to work on power lines and kind of fell out of fighting for about 2 years just making money, and I moved back to Oregon. And there was a little show, and actually Benji Raddick was fighting on it. I didn't know him at the time, and he was fighting a guy named Dennis Ash, and it was one of the very first shows in Oregon. And they needed someone to fill in for a fight, and I had kind of a reputation as a street fighter and as a boxer, and they needed someone at 170 pounds. All there knew my name out there, and they called my name over the intercom and asked me to come up to the DJ booth, and then they asked me if I would fill in the fight. And it was actually my birthday, and I was like, I was smart enough to say no. I said no, but I said, I'll tell you what, I'll fight in the next one you guys have. And when I said that, I just kind of stuck with it, and I went and found the guy that was throwing the show and found out that he had an academy there in that town and showed up to train that Monday and was getting choked out left and right and kind of fell in love with the sport.
Did you actually have any boxing bouts, or did you just train in it?
Yep, no, I had 17 amateur boxing matches. I lost one, and then I had one pro match, and I went to a draw, and that's when I started the MMA 2 years later.
Cool. So do you still follow boxing at all? Are you a fan?
Not really. Not really, to be honest. The big fights, I'll follow the big fights.
Right.
But that's
happened to me, box myself in college, and you know, the MMA came along, and I have a fight site called UnlimitedFightNews.com, so I kind of had to cover it, and then I tend to watch way more MMA now than I do boxing.
Yeah, MMA is so fun to watch.
Yeah, it takes a lot of getting used to. Guys like Tony, our co-host here, he's reluctant to watch it. He watches every now and then if somebody throws a party and puts you up.
Yeah.
Or so many big fights, right, Tony? Like Brock Lesnar. One more.
Yeah, I would go to some of the big fights if my friend would have them. But I'm a boxing guy through and through. I was born into it, and I'll always be, like I said, I went down to a show. I was telling Rich earlier, I went to a show in Philadelphia this past weekend that was so loud and so wild that I had a headache come Monday.
There's nothing like an old school boxing gym. Walking in there, and it's you know, the guys are really getting down and dirty, and it's got a great vibe, right? There's really no cameras in there. There's no nothing. There's no pretty boys. Everyone's in there working hard, and I like those gyms, man. I like once in a while when I'll go into a gym like that, and it's a cool feeling just to see that, and you know, they got those in probably every big city.
And I was always benefit. I'm a Philadelphia guy. And, you know, so, I mean, I was in a city that the sport was very popular. Had the pleasure of meeting guys like the recently deceased Smoking Joe Frazier. Met him about 17 years ago. Him and his son tried to convince me to train with them. And I've met other guys, great guys, Bernard Hopkins, Charles the Hatchet Brewer, some you know, Philadelphia fighters from another guy about a year ago, Benny Briscoe. Great fighters that you get to meet some of them. And I was telling Rich today, I was at the fights last week, and a fighter by the name of Smoking Burt Cooper walked by, and he fought everybody from Holyfield to Riddick Bowe to Ray Mercer. And I didn't get a chance to talk to him, and I had met him about 12 years ago because he had been training at my gym for a while. And I wanted to get a chance to talk to him the other day, saying, you know, Mr. Cooper, this is about probably my 100th or 200th live boxing event that I've gone to. And he was the main event of the very first one, the 1992 Fight of the Year down in Atlantic City against Michael Moore. And you'll never, especially I was a 15-year-old kid, you never forget your first time. And I guess that was...
Yeah, man. Those are always fun to go to.
And you're fighting now in Vegas there. What's it like under the Superior Cage Combat banner so far?
You know, they've got a lot of money. They're putting some good money into production. I've fought in so many different shows, right, that I know a good show and a bad show, and they do a damn good job, and I'm happy to be fighting for them right now. And, you know, they do what they can to take care of the fighters, and that's always important.
Right.
If you're not fighting in the UFC and MMA, you know, you ain't making as much money and you're looking.
I was actually impressed, you know, because they started sending me stuff like a month ago, and this fight's card isn't even coming up until next month. And they're
good
out of the gates early with the promotional stuff. So we got some connections made, and we put the interview together here. And we still got time to interview more guys who are going to be on the card. We get to it. But anyway, what would you say was your best moment so far in the sport?
My moment? Probably fighting in the UFC, I would imagine. I've had a bunch of them. You know, I've had some big fights. You know, I've taken some fights injured, and I've had some sad moments, of course. I felt one of my bigger moments was in the IFL when I fought Bart Peliszewski. I thought that I completely dominated the fight, and, you know, I was in his hometown. There was 10,000 people in the Moline at the, I can't remember which arena it was, but it was packed, and we were the co-main event, and you know, it just looking up at the upper deck in between rounds and seeing, you know, 10,000 people for me was incredible, and I felt like I just completely dominated the fight. And then, in the third round when they called it a split decision, gave it to him, I was real upset, but I was still was like, all right, you know, I'm still happy because everything that I wanted to do in the fight, I did except for, you know, finish it.
Yeah.
And then it's a big dream come true.
Yeah, I never had a bad boxing decision. I didn't have enough fights to get involved in that. But
yeah.
When I wrestled.
Yeah, I've had a few, and then, but you know what? In my one boxing fight, my pro fight,
yeah.
It was a draw, but I completely thought that I lost the fight. And so when they called it a draw, I was upset, but then I was happy at the same time because I was like, oh, at least I got away with a draw.
Right. Yeah, there was one time in wrestling where I got a bad decision. They didn't give me back points that I deserved. And it was in the meet against the arch rival school, the cross-town rival. So it was kind of a bummer for me. But after the match, the kid's father came over to me and he said, you know, you whipped my son out there tonight. So that was kind of...
Yeah, that's cool.
But the win would have been nice, too. Anyway, what do you enjoy most about actually being a mixed martial arts being seen out there?
What's that? I'm sorry. You're cutting out there.
Well, what do you enjoy most about being an MMA fighter and being in the scene out there in Vegas?
You know, I think the most thing that I enjoy about being an MMA fighter is just meeting all the guys that I train with. You know, these are all guys that I get along with and that I have something in common with, is guys that I can relate to rather than the average guy out there. Because you bleed and sweat together and put a lot of time and work together, I mean, you spend just as much time with the training partners as you do your family, if not more sometimes. And then when it's time to go to war, you know, it's like they're going with you, or when they're fighting, you're going with them.
Right.
It's like a brotherhood.
And how about the Vegas area? What do you like about that, being out there?
Yeah, I just like it's awesome out here because, you know, a lot of people think it's just party, and you just, season two, everything will be fine. I'm a family man. I've got two daughters that are in school, elementary school, and I've got a fiance, and, you know, I have a full-time job where I train people, and I just keep my nose clean to the grindstone. You know, I mean, once in a while I'll go out and have a little fun. You know, I'm normal. You know, I'm just an average guy. But you know, I basically just keep my nose to the grindstone, and I have to be a good guy because I have two daughters, right? So I gotta constantly make money and constantly worry about their upbringing, and so that keeps me grounded.
Well, speaking of money, what's it like as far as the payment goes in some of these other leagues that you've been in? You've obviously had a lot of experience, a lot of different venues, a lot of different promotions. How's it been over the years?
There's nothing compared to the UFC, my friend. Nothing compared to the UFC. I don't care what anyone says.
Yeah.
I've only got money fighting for the UFC than I made fighting any other organization. I made a lot in IFL, don't get me wrong, but you see where they're at now.
Right.
So, but, you know, the UFC takes care of you with bonuses. Every fight I had, they sent me a bonus check. So,
I mean, they get
you know, they're a good organization.
But you know, it's 90% of it is just because they don't ever report what they make, you know. So people are thinking they're making money hand over fist. And they really, you know, the thing that really killed them, I think, was, you know, it painted them as greedy was when the Forbes article came out and said it was worth $1 billion.
Yeah. No, they're taking care of guys.
It really wasn't worth $1 billion back then. Maybe now it is because of all their deals that they put in place, but that was like 5 or 6 years ago that article first came out.
They're definitely taking care of guys. I know that. I mean, I train with some of the top guys in the sport, and I know what they're making, and I don't care who, but they're making them in the other organization. And let's be honest, the sport's so young, you know, it's got time to grow, and it's got a lot. It's got a lot of growing to do still, and the money's just going to get better. So, you know, and you're going to find anyone bitching any sport. Look at the lockout in football, the lockout in basketball. In any sport, people are going to bitch, and they want more and more and more and more and more. That's just the nature of the beast, right?
Yeah, exactly. My beef with them is more along the lines of, you know, what standards they're using to throw people out. I think that pisses me off more than anything, because you guys get thrown out for tweets, and you know, other guys get 4 losses in a row, like Dan Hardy, and he doesn't get thrown out. But, you know, guys like John Howard has 3 losses, and he's gone. You know, so.
Yeah, you know what? It's hard to say. You know, what do you say? It's how they feel that day, and it's how you perform. They'll give you the opportunity to keep winning. They lost 1 in a row, and they got 8. Yeah, but, you know, that happens to other guys, too.
Thing that you do to get ready for a fight? You have to pick one
thing. I just stick to training. Just to make sure I'm in the gym and putting the work in and keeping my cardio up and doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Living my life as a fighter.
You're training out there at Randy's gym?
Yep, I trained at Extreme Couture and it's been real good.
Yeah, I was out there.
A lot of good guys.
I was out there in Vegas between last February and November of last year, and I went over there to Randy's gym a few times. I interviewed his son Ryan Couture, and I went to a grappling event they had there and saw Randy in person. And I was surprised, you know, he first off in this little grappling tournament. He's right there watching the whole thing, talking to people, and you know,
yeah, that's cool.
It's like there's so many gyms in Vegas. It's like, you know, these guys can walk around there, it seems, and not even get recognized half the time.
Yeah, but I tell you, the best fighters are right here at Extreme Couture. The best overall group of fighters are at Extreme Couture and Robert Drysdale's gym right here.
Yeah, that's a good neighborhood to be in.
Yep, I love it.
Guys, there. I think the last time I was in there, Evan Dunham was working out, and you know, nobody.
Yep, that's my boy from Oregon.
Yeah.
I actually brought him out here. I moved him out here.
Awesome.
I kind of talked him into, he was talking about retiring, and I told, after training with him, I said, man, you really got it, Evan. You could really go far in the sport. And he buckled down and started really training hard, and I got him to fight in the Philippines and they fight in the college for the UFC, and it's been, you know, been a good road for him so far, and I think he's going to climb right back into contention. The guy's legit.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, he's one of the best in the world for sure, no doubt.
Cool. And what would you say is your ultimate goal in the sport?
You know, my ultimate goal is just to compete and have fun doing it. You know, I've basically done everything a guy can ask for almost. I've fought all over the place. I've almost got 50 fights, you know, and I'm having fun doing it. I just want to look back and be able to tell my grandkids and everyone, like, look, this is what I accomplished, this is what I did, you know, and fighting, it took me a lot of places in this world, and it's gotten me a lot of great opportunities, so I'm glad for it, and, you know, I'm just a student of the sport, and eventually when I get older, I'm going to be a teacher.
Cool. What do you think over the years since you first started?
What's that?
What do you think about the growth of the sport over the years?
Oh, man, it's freaking awesome. I remember when I first started, there was unsanctioned bouts all over the place. I grew up in the when, you know, going to shows where I became friends with Ed Herman and Chris Leben. These were my buddies, right, because we were always traveling together, fighting, and these little shows, and, you know, we were the same kind of guys, so we'd go out drinking a little bit afterwards, and seeing this same guy, you know, Josh Burke and other guys, just guys come up and do so well, and just the money some of these guys are making now and the things that they've got, and, you know, because of the sport, it's just been freaking awesome. I love it.
Well, sounds good. Do you have any predictions for your fight on the 16th?
No, man. I really think it's going to be a great fight, and I look forward to the fight going in. You know, I'm going to finish him one way or another. It's either I'm going to finish him, or he's going to catch me with a lucky shot and put me away, because I'm going to be coming forward and being aggressive. That's the way I got to win this fight, and that's what I look forward to doing. I'm going to take him down and submit him. I don't think you can stop me from tapping them out, and that's my goal.
And looking at the whole sport, is there any fighter out there or group of fighters that you try to watch a lot of and try to pick up some moves from them?
You know, not really. It's just I watch a lot of fights, and you know, I think you can learn something from every fighter. Every fighter's got something unique, and you can always see something like, oh, I like that, and you try to incorporate something into your game a little bit and pick it up, you know. I'm just that kind of guy. I'm a Ronin. I try to use a lot of different styles and pick up things that I like and incorporate it into my game. I try to still you learn everything in that sport. It's just going to get better and better and more advanced as more money gets into the sport. You're going to see athletes of another kind coming up here in a few years.
Right. Yeah, I remember one time watching a fight and the guy that's in the UFC now, Brian Ebersole, and he was in this card down in Australia. I don't know if it's legal in the UFC and why I never saw him do it in the UFC or what the story is, but he would come in and he'd punch you in the leg like a Charlie horse punch. And keep it up the whole fight. And he's coming in from like weird angles. And he's the only guy I've ever seen do that. And then he got to the UFC and he didn't do it. So I'm wondering whether that's illegal in some places or what. Never see guys do that. Some guys help.
Yeah, no, you see some weird shit nowadays.
Yeah. It seems to me, especially the last couple of years, this striking has been way more prevalent than any other discipline.
It's fun to watch, that's for sure, right?
Yeah, you know, it's probably a result of all the bonus money people throw at the UFC guys for knocked out of the night and stuff, but
yep.
Also, it seems like the fans love it so much that guys just kind of get sucked into going toe-to-toe in fights and, you know, trying to get that knockout win. But I like the way that it's worked out, you know, because it keeps people entertained. It keeps them on their feet. And, you know, it definitely
keeps
them.
The fans like it.
All right, well, does anybody want to give a shout-out to or say hello to before I let you go?
No, I just seriously want to thank all my teammates for getting me and my coaches. And I want to thank you guys for giving me the opportunity. And so if I wanted to have a chance and they're out in Las Vegas on the 16th, to come out and check out Superior Cage Combat 4. It's going to be some great fights. And I want to thank and Joey Varner for everything that they're doing. And I look forward to getting that title and defending it down the road.
Cool. Well, it was great having you, and definitely we'll keep an eye on you. And I know you're not going to cheat, but I always like to say good luck. And we'll keep.
All right, buddy, I appreciate it.
You have a good night.
All right, guys, you too. Right. We'll talk to you later.
All right, thanks a lot.
All right, bye.
Bye. All right, so you heard the lady. We have 60 seconds left. So, adios, folks. We're going sayonara. No more technical difficulties. We're fading out for the night. Until next week, we will have, big news. Mike Brown from Norwich. The guy from the WEC, now in the UFC. Coming on next week. The big show.
Sir?
And, Tony, if you can get a boxing, or maybe I will. We'll see. Maybe we'll split it up next week. But that's it. We got to go. Bye-bye.
I'll see what I can do, man. I'll see you later.
All right.